Welcome to Consent Conversations at the Berg. Your hosts are Jennifer Storm and Carmen Brown.
Welcome back to Consent Conversations at the Berg, an initiative to foster vital dialogue around the issues of consent. I'm your host today, Carmen Brown, the Associate Director of Prevention Education at Muhlenberg, and I use she, her pronouns. And today we have a special guest with us. Hopefully her name rings a bell. She was here not too long ago. Rachel Knobloch from the Crime Victims Council of the Lehigh Valley.
Thank you for having me again. I'm happy to be here. As Carmen mentioned, my name is Rachel Knobloch and I use she, her pronouns. I am an outreach educator for the Crime Victims Council of the Lehigh Valley. We are a local nonprofit organization that helps anybody impacted by any type of crime in Lehigh or Northampton County. All of our services are completely confidential and provided at no cost, including individual and group counseling, accompaniment services, as well as education prevention and community outreach. As an outreach educator, I typically focus on raising awareness throughout the entire Lehigh Valley. To be specific, I am usually on college campuses and also working with community partners. So it is likely that you have already seen me on campus, or you'll most likely see me again in the future, especially with April coming up, which is what we are going to be talking about today.
Perfect segue, Rachel. Thank you. So this episode, we're going to be talking about the upcoming Sexual Assault Awareness Month, otherwise known as SAM, which is held in April each year. So SAM was first nationally observed in 2001. However, individuals have always been advocating for sexual assault prevention, as we know. The goal behind this advocacy is simple. You can't prevent an issue if people aren't aware of it, and it's also difficult to make people aware if a solution isn't provided. So sexual assault awareness has always been focused on first bringing to light the stories of survivors, and then second, viable solutions in the prevention of sexual harm. So each year, the National Sexual Violence Resource Center provides a theme to highlight an important way that we can bring awareness to and prevent sexual violence in our communities. This year's theme is Building Connected Communities. In essence, building connected communities helps us reduce the likelihood of sexual violence in our communities. Any space where people come together is a community. We all belong to communities, various different ones. They could be neighborhoods, workplaces, campuses, organizations, even online spaces. I really love this theme because, as I said, we are all part of a community, often several at a time, and community can be really powerful. It creates a sense of belonging and reminds us of how our beliefs, choices, and actions impact one another. At the center of building connected communities is ensuring our communities are safe, inclusive, and equitable. And this isn't just from sexual harm. This is racism, sexism, classism, heterosexism, ageism, ableism, all of the isms and other forms of oppression that all contribute to higher rates of sexual violence. So in order to prevent sexual violence, we have to address all of these abuses of power. So Rachel, can you talk a little bit about the importance of connected communities and how you've seen this displayed in your work at CVC?
Of course. So at the Crime Victims Council of the Lehigh Valley, we strongly believe in prevention education and community outreach. Unfortunately, we've seen that a lot of individuals throughout the Lehigh Valley usually only have heard about us after they've been impacted by some type of crime. As the local victim advocacy center, we are really striving to raise awareness of our services as well as the individual and community impact of criminal activity. As a member of the outreach department, we focus on prevention education and awareness programs in various settings. To be specific, we are in a lot of the different K-12 schools throughout the Lehigh Valley, as well as all of the colleges, senior centers, and other community organizations. It's our mission to ensure that residents of both Lehigh and Northampton County understand the importance of developing personal boundaries and healthy relationships, while also being able to detect the red flags and the cycle of violence that often takes place in unhealthy relationships. In addition, we offer and provide education on the importance of consent in relationships while also encouraging participants to analyze various scenarios that often involve situations such as power dynamics and the use of substances. Lastly, at the college and adult level, we create in-depth conversations regarding victim blaming and rape culture. As we address rape myths and common misunderstandings often encountered throughout society and the media, we push to transform a culture that often blames, questions, and ridicules survivors into the one that listens, understands, and supports them.
Thank you, Rachel. And so much community, so much connection. You're in so many places that I think a lot of people don't necessarily recognize need that space or need that education within those specific spaces. And that's because, as the NSVRC says, that we have to address the social and structural determinants of health within this building connected communities in terms of preventing sexual violence. So these structural and social determinants of health are economic stability, education access and quality, healthcare access and quality, neighborhood and built environment, and social and community context. And in some way, shape, or form, we all live, work, and play, and learn in these spaces. So essentially, in a connected community, we can look out for one another and make choices to promote health, safety, and well-being, with the ultimate goal of improving overall health equity, which is something we're always really striving for. So obviously, this kind of support and connection is great in theory, and we have wonderful people out there like Rachel and her team. However, many people still ask, okay, but why should I care? The unfortunate fact is that many people are affected by sexual violence, and we may or may not be aware of this. Can you talk a little bit more, Rachel, about this and why people, whether or not they know someone who is a survivor, should care?
The CVC stresses the importance of survivor-centered services. However, another key part of our mission is to essentially raise awareness and provide prevention education throughout our entire community within the Lehigh Valley area. After each of our outreach programs, we insist on highlighting the importance of bystander intervention to individuals who might not have even been infected by crime in some way. At the conclusion of my programs, I often state, even though I have just met many of you today, I hope that no one ever experiences the serious and traumatic crimes that I have discussed. However, I know the chances are very likely that you or somebody that you know has already been affected by this or will be impacted at some point in their life. Sadly, our society has created the concept of the bystander effect, where if a wrongdoing is taking place in a very crowded area with others being able to witness and observe it, the chances are that no one actually ends up stepping in or standing up against it. For instance, if I were to bully somebody in a classroom right now of about 45 students, a lot of the students would think to themselves that they should not get involved, hoping that somebody else will actually end up doing something. However, if everyone hopes that someone else will stand up, no one will ever state that enough is enough and nothing will ever get done. With the mindset of not getting involved, bystanders often become a part of the problem with when they do nothing at all, as it only desensitizes and also normalizes violence within our community. Another issue we usually encounter is that we don't want to get involved in private matters, especially if we do not know the people involved. My argument to this thought is that any human being should not have to endure any form of sexual violence, and we should not only care about the people in our own personal circles, such as friends and family members. After each outreach session I facilitate, I challenge the audience to be the person to stand up and say something, even if you do not know the person being attacked. In conclusion, we should all be able to look out for one another and come to an agreement that no one should be harmed, abused, or mistreated, whether we know them or not. And if someone is being harmed in some type of way, we have to be the ones to stop it in its tracks.
Thank you so much for bringing up bystander intervention. It's so important, and one of the things that we talk about here at Muhlenberg all the time in all of our programs, because it's one of the primary ways that we create a safe community and we create those connected communities. By standing up for one another when we see someone who is in an uncomfortable or dangerous situation, or even if we're just worried about their general health and well-being, we create the norm that we care about one another and each other's safety and well-being. And that's kind of like the bedrock of creating those connected communities and building and strengthening those connected communities. Stepping up can be hard, though. We recognize that. We might think the person doesn't really need our help. We might be unsure of what to do or if the actions we take are actually going to make a difference. Other times, we just feel uncomfortable going up to a person or people and intervening. So there's a lot of reasons we might not intervene in situations. Rachel, can you tell us a bit more about how students, bystanders, anyone can use different skills to intervene in situations and what some interventions might look like?
So even I can admit that it can be pretty difficult at times to intervene in uncomfortable situations because, again, sometimes we have that mindset that we don't want to get involved. However, as we said before, if we decide to do nothing, we sadly become a part of the problem. I also understand that not everyone may be comfortable directly throwing themselves into the middle of a conflict, which is why we prefer to elaborate on the three D's of bystander intervention. The three D's can be pictured as some type of continuum of courage for individuals who want to stand up against something, whether it's wrong, uncomfortable, or even potentially dangerous. The three D's of bystander intervention are direct, delegate, and distract. Each individual may prefer a different method compared to what their friends or family may use. For example, someone who has had a lot of training in relation to trauma-informed care and advocacy work may be a lot more comfortable being direct in certain situations. This individual tends to be more opinionated and is not afraid to say, call it out when they see something wrong. If they see an individual making someone else feel uncomfortable, the direct person is likely to step in between and state how and why that behavior is not okay. In contrast, other individuals may be more comfortable delegating, which is simply bringing another person into the equation and getting them involved. For example, let's say we're at a party right now, and if I see something wrong, but I don't feel comfortable actually intervening myself, I'm more likely to ask a friend who's a lot more bolder, a lot more confident, and is more likely to be direct, step in, and intervene. College students can also do this by asking staff and faculty to step in if they notice something taking place while on the college campus. Finally, the last D is for distraction, which is probably the one that is used the most by individuals because they are the most comfortable when trying to create an excuse to easily distract a situation and also offer a victim an easy way to escape and get to a safe place. Distraction is simple and often causes less tension as it simply tries to pull individuals away from the uncomfortable and potentially dangerous situations. Distraction can either be used to pull the harasser away from the victim or pull the victim away from the offender. A common example that's often used by females is using the bathroom excuse to easily pull the victim away from that situation altogether. Overall, the goal of each D is to get the victim to a safe place and stop the uncomfortable or potentially violent act from taking place, stopping it in its tracks altogether.
And just a few notes on bystander intervention, and I think, Rachel, you did a fantastic job, so thank you. We obviously never want you to intervene if your safety and well-being is in danger by intervening. And I think that's why the 3Ds are so perfect, is because they really offer that variety of ways to intervene no matter what the situation is. So first and foremost, take a step back and think, like, if I intervene, am I going to get harmed somehow? Am I going to be put in a dangerous situation? If that's the case, then that's where delegate comes in. And one of the ways that we always encourage students to delegate, along with checking in with staff and faculty, is also calling campus safety. Campus safety is here to support you all when faculty and staff may not be present on campus. They are a huge, huge resource. So to kind of continue on and talk a little bit more about SAM and some of the events that you can get involved in throughout the month, both at Muhlenberg and through CVC, I want to highlight a few that are happening throughout the entirety of April. These are events that span from supporting survivors to providing education and knowledge around how do we actually prevent sexual violence. So the first event is going to be our keynote to honor Sexual Assault Awareness Month, which is going to take place on Thursday, April 4th. We're going to welcome to campus Cheyenne Tyler Jacobs. So Cheyenne is going to join us, provide her keynote speech titled "Twice as Hard, the Conversation We Need to Be Having." This event's going to begin at 6:30 p.m. and be held in Seegers Union 113, so mark it on your calendar. In this keynote address, Cheyenne authentically combines global and national statistics about the abuses to Black bodies, woven through her own story, shared with original spoken word poetry. She powerfully exposes the unique realities of a woman of color as a survivor of sexual violence and unpacks uncomfortable realities of the internal dialogues about marginalized communities that feel the underlying systemic conditions of sexual assault and abuse. Finally, attendees are going to be able to explore their own everyday narratives and personal choices and engage in dialogue so that they can find tangible strategies for positive change. The next one is going to be held on Wednesday, April 10th. This is titled Sex Ed Beyond the Books with Ava Bloom. We're so excited to bring Ava to campus. The workshop's going to be held in Seegers Union 108 to 109 from 8 to 9 p.m. So Ava is an award-winning non-binary queer sex educator and speaker, which we love. With a Master of Science and 10-plus years as an educator, they help people of all genders and sexual orientations bust shame and cultivate authentic pleasure. They are a creator of the digital education platform What's My Body Doing?, which has educated 3-plus million people across the globe and have spoken at institutions across North America. Sex Ed Beyond the Books is an engaging, informative, and empowering talk on sex and relationships. Individuals are going to get to learn tips and tools for communicating your desires and boundaries, bust some myths about pleasure anatomy, LGBTQIA+ inclusive sex ed, and so, so much more. The next event is Friday, April 19th, titled Chalk the Walk. This is one that we're going to be partnering with Rachel and CVC on. It's going to take place from 11:30 to 1:30 in Parents Plaza, so hopefully it's nice and warm for all of us. It is primarily going to be a tabling event. Myself and Rachel will be present with some resources on sexual violence awareness and prevention, but individuals will also be offered the opportunity to chalk messages of support and encouragement to survivors on Academic Row, which we know is so, so important when it comes to supporting survivors. And the final event that we're going to be having is going to be held on Wednesday, April 24th. This is our annual Denim Day tabling event. So from 11 to 2 p.m., again in Parents Plaza, so fingers crossed for more good weather, members of Voices of Strength will hold tabling to honor Denim Day. So this campaign began after a ruling by the Italian Supreme Court overturned a rape conviction because the justices felt, since the victim was wearing tight jeans, she must have helped the person who raped her remove her jeans, thereby implying consent. Each year on Denim Day, individuals are encouraged to wear denim to bring awareness to victim blaming and protest destructive myths surrounding sexual violence. The table is going to have support resources and provide an opportunity to write messages of support and consent on pieces of denim that will be displayed. So Rachel, I know CVC has a few different things throughout the month as well to honor Sam. Would you mind taking a moment to tell us a bit more about them and how individuals can get involved?
So there's two dates that I'd like to talk about to be specific, but the first one is actually not just CVC specific, it's actually nationwide. And that is the first Tuesday in April. It is called the Day of Action for Sexual Assault Awareness Month. It's also known as Teal Tuesday. The chances are sadly high that we know someone who has survived some type of sexual harassment, assault, or abuse. And April 2nd of this year is a really good opportunity for the community to be able to share their support for all victims and survivors of sexual violence. The Day of Action encourages individuals to show their support and create safe spaces for survivors by wearing the color teal, as it is the color of sexual violence prevention. In addition, supporters are also encouraged to post pictures, quotes, and stories on social media in an attempt to raise awareness and provide education in regard to sexual violence and how it impacts our community. Lastly, the Crime Victims Council of the Lehigh Valley will be hosting our annual Victims' Rights Vigil on Wednesday, April 24th of this year. The ceremony will begin at 6 p.m. at the Memorial Tree of Life Grove, located on 3256 Chestnut Drive in Allentown. It's really close to campus. It's probably about 5 to 10 minutes away if you'd like to make it. The annual vigil takes place during National Crime Victims' Rights Week and will commemorate this year's theme of building connected communities, which we talked a lot about today throughout our podcast. The event will be open to the public and is free of charge and is a really great opportunity for crime victims, their families, and also the local community to gather together to raise awareness of how crime impacts the Lehigh Valley area. Survivors will be present and have volunteered to speak about how their lives have been impacted by crime. Lastly, we typically do a bell ceremony that will also be performed at this time in memory of those taken from their families as a result of violent crime. In conclusion, the annual Victims' Rights Vigil can be very emotional, heartfelt, and very powerful as well, and it brings an entire community together in one shared safe space that is filled with support.
Awesome. Thank you, Rachel. As always, we know we threw a ton of information and events at you today. Hopefully, we get to see you at some of those. We also recognize, and I want to take a moment to talk a little bit about resources, because we recognize that engaging in events is always really helpful and powerful for individuals, but that also sometimes they need to take a step back from it due to their own experiences or the experiences of someone they love and care about. So always remember that you have confidential resources both on and off campus available to you. Your confidential resources on campus, as a little reminder, the health center, counseling center, the college chaplain, and the director of the LaFell Center for Jewish Student Life.
I also just wanted to make a note that we are a completely confidential resource, and if you ever have any questions or would like to talk to somebody, please feel free to call our 24-hour hotline. The phone number is 610-437-6611.
Awesome. Thank you, Rachel. And of course, if you're looking to talk to someone who is non-confidential, myself is one of those resources, as well as Jen Storm, our director of equity and Title IX, who is unfortunately not able to be here with us today. However, she always serves as a support to all of the students across campus. So, Rachel, it has been truly amazing having you on. Listeners, keep in mind that we partner with Rachel and CVC quite often, as you've come to know. You'll see her quite a few times throughout the academic year on campus, and especially during our upcoming SAM events, which we also hope to see you at, so that we can all work as a community to prevent and end sexual violence. Finally, keep in mind, when in doubt, talk it out.
Consent Conversations at the Berg is a production of Muhlenberg College, the Office of Equity in Title IX, the Department of Prevention Education, and WMUH Allentown. This program is recorded and produced in the studios of WMUH Allentown, Pennsylvania.